walking among wicked men, and not only seeing their evil deeds, but knowing their thoughts. That, we're spared a lot of agony sometimes, because even when people are against us, we can't really ultimately see everything they're thinking. I'm thankful. Can you imagine if every time you walked by somebody that hated you and all you could see was their thoughts? It would just instill fear into your heart. But this is where we see the glory of our Lord. Knowing men's thoughts. And now let's stop here right now and say, whose thoughts were they? Those there were our representatives. So those are my thoughts. If Christ paid my debt, they were simply acting out what I would have done had I been there. So I hear people say, well, I don't know how they could have done that. If I had been there, I'd just been loving on Jesus. No, you wouldn't have. If we believe the Scripture, because the Scripture says that this heart is full of enmity. And I fear for those who say they believed on the Lord that have never seen the enmity of their own heart. They're quick to point out the evil in others, but they've never been brought to see their lost estate and be cast utterly in darkness before the Lord. That their only hope is that unless He paid the debt, I'm gone. I'm so thankful that my redemption, my justification, my reconciliation with God is not based on how clearly I see Christ. There's a confusion in this matter today that says if you don't see Him plainly and clearly, then you can't say you're saved. If that were the case, then even the very disciples of the Lord would not have been saved by that standard until sometime after the resurrection. But that's not something that the Lord put as a requirement on them. And I think people beat themselves up because they look inward and they think, well, do I really know enough about Christ? Have I really got the right view of Him? And I will continue to say till my dying breath, if that is a condition for our salvation, there's not going to be anybody saved, because we look through a glass darkly. We see a figure, if you will, of Him here, but if perfect knowledge were the requirement, then one of two things. Either we would no longer be man or human, or God in Christ would no longer be God in Christ, because He's infinite. Stop and think about it. How is finite to grasp infinite? You can go to a doctor and you can have your general family practitioner, family medicine doctor, but when he observes a situation that is even beyond his expertise, what does he do? Refers you to another. Do you realize how many doctors there are? Just like how many lawyers there are. I was speaking to an attorney the other day and he said, it's getting now with legal matters to where even attorneys have to have attorneys. Because no one can be expert enough in every aspect of law. And that's just in things finite. Scientists, same thing. You've got different branches of science. Math, same thing. But things spiritual. Who then can comprehend the height and the depth? And the width, the length of all that pertains to God. Now, what's important is not my view of it, but God's view of it. Have we come together today out of need? Or just because it's Sunday and this is the time we go to worship? I pray that it always be out of need. You know, the Scriptures say, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in time of need. I don't know any that the Lord has taught that when they read that, they don't always see that in the present. I'm always in need. In fact, when I preach for you, and that's important for me to talk about too, not preach to you. I'm not preaching to anybody here. In fact, I preach to myself, but I preach for you. And my prayer is that of all who hear me, that I be the neediest of all. Because when the Lord makes me to see my need, there's no cockiness in standing up here and preaching. There's no pretense. There's no performance. I haven't sat down and thought at each point like a performer, at what point I'm going to smile, at what point I'm going to point, at what point I'm going to raise my voice. All of that I have no idea. As the Lord directs, I just know I'm a needy sinner. And I've had people chastise me for saying that. Well, you're the preacher. You should not be telling them that you're a needy sinner. Well, you know what? In a colony of lepers, I don't care at what stage of leprosy anybody is, the neediest of all is going to be crying the loudest of all, impure, impure. And I'll tell you, it's just like that preacher had put on his tombstone, I am a great sinner, and I have a great Savior. If you were to ask me, what is your message? That's it.